This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 10th of August 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bann. Today, I'm joined down the line by our Milan correspondent, Ivan Cavallo, who's going to talk me through a trio of art exhibitions on show in his city. We'll begin by feasting on what's on show in Arts and Foods Rituals since 1951 at the Triennale Museum. We'll discuss the new Prada Foundation that opened this year, as well as visiting a new show in their Nord Gallery entitled In Parts, and we'll take a tour of Milan's House Museums. That's all coming up here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the programme, Ivan. I hope Milan is not too hot for you at this time of year. Maybe a nice air-conditioned art gallery is the place to retire to.
Indeed, I have found refuge in the last a few weeks in some very cool galleries.
Nice one. Well, we're going to start at the never knowingly un-air-conditioned Triennale di Milano for their current show. This is called Art and Foods Rituals since 1951. All sorts of things, quite sculptural, quite interactive, some of these things. Talk us through the highlights of this show, Ivan.
Yeah, this has been put on by the Triennale, so what is basically Milan's design museum. And it is taking place now because of the World's Fair, which is going on in Milan, Expo 2015, which, of course, the theme of Expo is food. And so it was quite appropriate to have an arts and food show. And it's a massive exhibit. I mean, we're talking three floors, hundreds of works, paintings, installations. They've recreated a Milanese coffee bar from the early 20th century. So it's quite impressive. It's something that I would recommend to anyone if they're coming through Milan before the end of the World's Fair, which finishes at the end of October.
And there's lots of, art and food's got a great history. There's lots of people that use food in their art. There's lots of people that riff off, you know, like Warhol did with his soup cans, the kind of packaging of food and that kind of like very easy Americana idea. Paul McCarthy's Daddy's Ketchup Bottle is one of them, isn't it? Tell us, is this a sort of exhibition that makes you feel hungry, or does it kind of fill you up for the day? The fact that, you know, some of these meatball, for example, things the Klaus Oldenburg, his huge meatball on a fork, presumably is enough to feed a family for a fortnight.
Yeah, indeed. Being in Milan, a great city for going out to eat. I mean, it is food for thought, and it also gets you hungry. I think what's great about this is the mix. It is of course massive. I mean, I have the catalog, which runs to almost 1,000 pages. The catalog.
Wow.
Yeah, which was put together by Alecta for the art historian Germano Celant, who organized this exhibit. I think there's such great variety. I mean, if you look at things as simple as a first-class tray of what Alitalia was serving back in the 1970s, which is probably the pinnacle.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, probably the pinnacle for Alitalia was then, and I think it's been downhill since then. But it's something that it takes you to these scenes. I mean, you have a kitchen that was designed by Le Corbusier for his Unité d'Habitation, that apartment block in Marseille. And so you see how the kitchen would have looked. It's divided into three segments, this exhibit. So you look at art up and food up until the war. Then there's of course the great boom of the 50s and 60s with the consumerism, and as you mentioned, you know, there is the Warhol and the Campbell soup cans. That is one thing, and then the last part is how we've evolved with these installations and more innovative pieces, and of course some very quirky things like a Big Mac that's a giant Big Mac, or this inflatable Daddy's Ketchup, which is a bottle which is out on the garden behind the Triennale Museum.
And there's also Tom Sachs's Nutsies McDonald's, which is this sort of it looks kind of like something that you might make. It looks like something that's kind of a temporary thing that's for kind of like highway builders, right? I mean, it seems like a critique perhaps on McDonald's. That's happened a million times before. Is this a kind of political show about food and how it's distributed around the world, or are the curatorial notes quite light-handed in this show, Ivan?
I think what's important here, because we are in Milan, you know, design, graphic design, for example, that that work by Sachs that you mentioned. I mean, it's beautifully visual. It looks like you would imagine like almost like a little lemonade stand that a kid sets up. You know, you have this McDonald's temporary stand there, almost like a roadside spot. Of course, you know, with the expo going on, the people there, the organizers, have been pushing for the debate to talk about the future of food and to be thought-provoking and to raise questions. And this exhibit at the Triennale Museum is the only event which is located outside of the expo, so it really is integral to the discussion of the World's Fair. The theme about, you know, what are we looking at with our food today, or the packaging of food, using food more as fuel and not thinking about sort of the consequences of now with globalization and how, you know, mass agriculture, fast food culture, how that affects us. And so, you know, they want to be thought provoking. Of course, you know, with design being key to Milan, I think there's a lot of fantastic visuals. Italo Rota, which helped with the design of the exhibit space, I think it's great. And so I think it's a must see for anybody who happens to come through the city.
It sounds fantastic stuff. That is Arts and Foods Ritual since 1951. It is on at the Triennale in Milan until the beginning of November. And we're going to turn our attention now to, the most sort of noteworthy, I suppose, new addition to Milan's bustling art scene, Ivan. This is the Fondazione Prada, Miuccia Prada, I suppose, a Milanese herself. How is this much written about, much storied showcase going down in town?
Yeah, I mean, Milan, you know, doesn't have it that sort of world-class museum institution, for example, like the Tate or the MoMA. And so it was interesting to see the reaction by the public to this space, which is not so much a museum as sort of a cultural center, what they're calling it, both people at Prada and others, because you know, it really is a place that brings together, you know, a cinema. There's a cafe, of course. And it's I think the space is quite interesting because it's a former distillery for brandy and whiskey, which is sort of on the wrong side of the tracks, because it's on the south side of these railroad tracks, just outside of the center belt, city center of Milan. But again, you know, Prada being Prada, they're usually the leaders, and so people will follow them. And I see lots of tourists going there, so it's already become a tourist destination, like the Tate, you know, not just for looking at art, but sort of hanging out, going to the cafe. So in that, it's been a success, and I think in the future, we might see more of these kinds of sort of cultural centers by other perhaps fashion groups or others in the city.
And just before we turn to the show, we'll mention in part in a second. Do you think that in your experience of having been at the Fondazione, do you think that people are going for the building, or out of curiosity because it's new, or you've got some? I mean, obviously at the opening there were a lot of hardcore art world partiers and cognoscenti there. But what's the kind of mix of visitors? Do you think?
Well, what I saw was a mixture, and you know, it's the summer and it's quite hot. But I saw people of all age groups from various countries. You know, Brazil, France, Germany, the U.S. So it brings together, I think, there are sort of the hipsters who want to see and be seen and put themselves on Instagram. But I think there's a dedicated art crowd there who likes the space. Again, it's a beautiful space designed by Rem Koolhaas, who's reworking an old industrial space, it's a distillery. They're adding in, of course, new spaces. They still have to finish a 10-story tower. What I think is great is this mixture of industrial with they put a gold leaf covering a cladding on a tower which used to hold the fermentation tanks, and so there's a mixture of that with this aluminum that was used as sort of a material that's used in the military, and you have marble and concrete. So all of that together, I think, is quite interesting. The mixture with even these beautiful handrails, which are very exciting. I mean, they look really nice to touch, and you even have a Wes Anderson, the film director who designed the cafe, and so you're expecting maybe that Bill Murray will pop onto set at any moment.
Certainly there'll be some decent uniforms on the staff, you'd have thought. Well, let's not leave the Fondazione Prada without mentioning the show. It's called Impart. It's a group show obsessed with synecdoche. You can tell us what that means, Ivan, and what the show's like.
Yeah, it's looking back at it was born out of a photograph taken by Robert Rauschenberg of a fellow artist, Cy Twombly, down in Rome in the Forum, and he's standing next to a statue, a massive statue of a hand with the index finger pointing out, and so it sort of begins. That's sort of the point of departure for this journey, looking at ancient Rome and ancient Greece and those sort of inspirations with the statues of that classical period and how they keep popping up again and again in art. And so you see various pieces, whether it's sculpture or painting. So you have the sort of shock artist of Italy, Maurizio Cattelan, has the suspended hand with, of course, now the middle finger, not the index finger, because he does like to provoke. He does have that. He's famous for the giant middle finger statue, which was put in front of the Milan Stock Exchange not too long ago. There's a bust by Man Ray that's tied up and confined by ropes. A beautiful thing, a beautiful work by Francesco Vezzoli, sort of a surrealist painting of the Trevi Fountain, superimposed Anita Ekberg on a classical bust on almost a print, but it's actually this curious metallic embroidery, which from a distance looks like an old painting, but it's not. So there's a great mixture of pieces in there, and the space again, it's very soothing, and so you have a wonderful experience of touring this exhibit.
It sounds fantastic. I missed the opening of that, and I can't wait to come and visit the Fondazione Prada. We were talking about In Parts. It's on at the Nord Gallery, and that is part of that aforementioned Fondazione. And that show's on until the end of October. We're going to squeeze in the Casa Museo di Milano now, Ivan, the House Museums of Milan. What rare treasures and wonderful properties can be seen around town as part of this show?
Yeah, these are ongoing exhibits, which I thought to bring up because they are interesting and sometimes overlooked by the public, whether locals or visitors to Milan, because people are looking for those big museums. These are homes that are organized. They've been organized by Italy's National Trust, the FAI, and they've been put together to preserve these homes. There's a network of four houses across Milan. I think two that are quite interesting because they're from the 20th century, and they're done by an Italian architect, Bortolupi. These are from the 1930s. One is Villa Necchi, and it's close to sort of the downtown shopping area, hidden away on a side street. Has a beautiful garden, and it's sort of the sort of first sort of great villa of the modern times in Milan, and the first one to have a swimming pool and all these modern sort of accoutrements of the home, a sort of a modern day sort of Downton Abbey with the servants' quarters in the attic, and there's the dumb waiter. There was a lift put in. There's a nice cafe there also to sort of just after you go through the various rooms and see how this industrial family was living, and of course you see some of the artworks as well. I believe the more interesting one for artwork is actually the second building, an apartment block done again by the same architect, Portolupi, the house museum from Bosco di Stefano, where you see works from the Futurist period, the Chirico, Lucio Fontana as well, and it gives you a sense of how the well-off or the well-to-do were living in that time.
And this is where, and just looking at, I've got some of the pictures of the villas, of the houses themselves in front of me, and just that is where Milan gets its reputation for fantastic taste. These beautiful villas that are really quite modernist, and some of those, as you say, works by Lucio Fontana, and just exquisite taste, I suppose, throughout.
Yeah, I think
but not boringly so, hopefully.
No, I think again with Milan, because there are no sort of landmark museums, those sort of top 10 of the world. It's more about subtlety, just like with a lot of the homes and galleries. It's all about sort of the private spaces. When you go to Milan, the real beauty, as I always say to visitors, is that you need to go into these courtyards. You need to look behind the gates if you're allowed in, and And these, you know, these home museums allow that now, so people can sort of see these gardens. For example, Villa Necchi, you're in a space where if you're sitting at the cafe looking at the pool, you can almost imagine that you're in the countryside and not in the downtown of Italy's financial capital.
Nice. Well, the thing to look for if you are on the internet and want to figure that stuff out is Casa Museo di Milano. Those houses are open. Sometimes they're closed. You can find out the details there. Before that, we talked about In Part. That's on at the Fondazione Prada until the end of October. And we start off by talking about arts and foods, rituals since 1951. That's on at the Triennale until the beginning of November. The man that talked us through them was Ivan Carvalho. Thank you very much to Ivan. You've been tuned in to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher, and my researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for this week's music review, but for the time being, thanks for tuning in.